It's Wednesday. Grab your last pumpkin spice of the season, perhaps. Grab your goat. Grab your wand. It is time for Willow to Park. No, it is time for the Witches movie, Kevin. Yeah. Happy everybody had a beautiful Halloween and a beautiful, and I am going to mute for a second because it's my dog. So I am Patty Negri. I'm one of your hosts. We're talking about Coco. I'm going to mute. So Jason, you take over and introduce yourself.
I'm Jason Makey. I've written nine books about witchcraft, which is like incredible to me. I live in beautiful Silicon Valley, California, where it is already getting cold. Richard Lael.
Yes, I am Richard Lael Lillard. Richard Lael is one name, not two. If I were just Richard. So, yes, I have not written any books yet, but I am working on some things. And it is cold here. It was like 50 degrees, so it was cold. And now Heather Green.
Hi, I'm having a little bit of a technical camera problem. That's why you see me moving around and shifting in my office. But I am here tonight. I'm looking forward to our discussion. I am in out of Atlanta. I've written one book, and that is Life Camera Witchcraft. So the definitive guide to a lot of what we talk about here. And I am also an editor at Llewellyn Worldwide, as well as a freelance journalist. Courtney?
Oh, that's me. I'm Courtney Buckley. I'm Ghost Bait on Scared and Alone. I just survived Salem in October, and until about 30 minutes ago was doing great. Now I'm filled with ennui.
Thank you. Yes, look at it. Don't mean to laugh at it, really.
It's going to be a very special show tonight.
It's going to be a very special show because we are celebrating De Los Muertos in our pagan holiday. Besides Halloween and candy and trick-or-treating and dressing up, it really is about celebrating our ancestors. And so that is what we're going to do a little bit tonight. And that also bounces off the movie we are doing, Coco. Courtney started crying half an hour ago. So we will just get through. And sorry for my scoopy opening. Willa just had to get her words in edgewise. Nothing like a clean opening. Anyway, let's just get started and save the other stuff for the end when we can't even talk. Richard Lael, do you want to give us your synopsis of this show?
I would be delighted. I would be absolutely delighted. As I loathe Disney until this one, and I'm not going to give any more opinions excepting with the fact that I'll tell a little brief interlude. I was coming back from my visit in Ohio, in Atlanta, and this fellow, I'm watching Coco on the plane. I'm watching it, and I just finish as we land, and I'm crying like a baby. I'm dressed in my signature blacks and reds, and this fellow with this very thick accent makes his way to the back of the plane to use the facilities, and then he crosses in front of me, and he says, "Hey, are you a satanic priest in the Church of Satan?" And I said, "No, I'm a Satanist, but no, I mean, I'm well known." He said, "God, that's so. But I got to tell you, I was really terrified in flying the plane with you." And I wish I would have said, "You shouldn't have been terrified. Clearly, if I sold my soul to be flying in a plane with you, clearly it's going to land." So don't. I didn't say that. I was just so taken back and crying like a baby over this movie. And let me tell you about this film. It is a story about family. It is a story about a little boy who apes play music. He loves music. Unfortunately, his great-grandmother forbade music in their home because at one point, the grandfather had left to pursue music and never came back. And so this little boy decides he's going to sneak behind their back, and he doesn't care if they don't want him anymore. He doesn't care if they don't remember him. He doesn't care. All he wants to do is play his music, and he thinks that his grandfather may actually be this very famous actor and singer who would have been around in the 1940s. And he has the guitar, and he knows it has to be him. It has to be this fellow. And so he goes to the town center to play in this sort of, what is it called? A talent show. But no one will loan him a guitar. And the only way that he can go on stage is if he has a guitar. He has to have his own instrument. And obviously, no one is going to loan their precious instrument to this little boy. So he goes into one of the mausoleums where this famous man had been laid to rest. And he reaches up and he takes it. And he's certain that this famous man was his grandfather. They take that guitar down, and he, as he does, this strange thing happens. And he finds himself in between worlds, not in this one and not in the other, but somehow in both. And he is, as any boy would be, terrified and frightened. And then he is rescued by his great-grandmother. And she is, of course, now deceased. And he goes into the other world, and he meets some people who are going to help him along the way, a lot of the ancestors, cousins, and aunties and uncles. And he's convinced that this celebrity deceased man is his grandfather. And this vagabond deceased man who is trying desperately to come back to the other side, he's trying desperately to be remembered, but he can never seem to cross back over into our realm. He says, I can take you to that man. I can take you. You can see him. I can go. So they end up by going to this man's mansion. And I guess in the other world, if you're rich and poor, you're poor. And that's the way that it is. And so since he was a celebrity, he gets a lot of acolytes, and a lot of people put his picture on their altars at the time of Dia de los Muertos. And this little boy desperately needs the blessing to play music so he can be sent back. He desperately needs it. And he takes the guitar and he calls out and he starts to play Remember Me, the song that this man is famous for singing. And then it turns out that it's his grandfather, and it's this loving sort of connection until you find out that he's not his grandfather, and that his grandfather was the vagabond, and that the only reason that his grandmother, his his great-great-grandmother didn't want any music played in the house because he had left, but he tried to come back. The vagabond had tried to come back. He was the one who wrote all of the music, and he had been poisoned by this man in white, this superhero of the screen. And then, of course, as they're fading, his spirit dog, his spirit guide, turns into an actual spirit guide and is not just a little dog. And they're rescued, and the family is reunited, but it's too late. Because when one does not remember, when the last person who knew you when you were alive, when they pass on, and if there are no pictures of you on the altar, then you never get to see them. I know, we're all doing it. And the end, Grandma Coco is dying, and she's forgetting, and the little boy is fading, and he gets the blessing and goes back, and he bursts in to see his Mama Coco, and they sing the song, I will remember you, or remember me, though I'm far away, remember me. And in a moment of clarity, the little old woman starts to sing, and she says, my papa, he sang that to me. And then 1 year later, on Dia de los Muertos, Mama Coco has passed over that bridge too. She is reunited with her mama and her papa and all of her cousins. And the little boy places a picture of Mama Coco on the altar, his grandmother does, and he's there with him. And he tells the little baby, these are not just old photos. These are our family. And it plays off with Remember Me. It's this beautiful story about the ancestors, a celebration of the Latin heritage, a celebration of the Dia de los Muertos.
I feel like I just watched it all over again.
Courtney, I just want to give you a big hug right now. I just want to hug you and tell you it's going to be okay.
It's not going to be okay. It's your fault. You picked this movie.
But these are happy tears.
They're not.
I've been blamed for a lot of other things. This is fine. I'll take this one.
Okay. All right. That is a beautiful. Now you all understand the film and why Courtney and is hysterically, and we are tearing up. And let's move this over to Heather now, because is this one of the movies in your book, dear Heather?
It's not, because it's not really a witch movie. So it doesn't come up. Pixar, of course, does, and Disney does. But this is not a witch movie, so it does not appear in my book. It's a movie that definitely touches people that are pagan, because there are similar practices with this holiday and paganism, certainly Samhain. And there are a lot of other cultures around the world that celebrate ancestors at times. So this is one of those. And I actually did an article on the holiday by an interviewed Laura Gonzalez. She is a witch, lives in the Midwest, but she is originally from Mexico, born and raised. She's also of an indigenous heritage. So she celebrates Day of the Dead, as well as Samhain, as well as Halloween, as well as the indigenous practices from her culture that led to the actual Mexican Day of the Dead too. And so it was a fascinating interview, and I have that. I have posted that on my social media if you guys want to read that. So it's really fascinating how all of that works out. I also was fortunate enough to work on, and just showed this little book here. This is, there's a link to my story at the top. If you see that little code, QR code, you can link to, you can go right to the story. But this little book I also worked on, I'm trying to get it on the screen, The Day of the Dead, Llewellyn's Little Book of the Day of the Dead. It was written by Jaime Yarones, and he is born and raised in Mexico City, still lives there. He's also a witch. But the practices in here, he talks about the ofrenda. He talks a lot about the stuff he'd see in the movies, and legit, original, Mexican, original. And it's a great, if you really want to see recipes of how they practice and all the various things, this had it. And so I was fortunate enough to work with him on that. So I got a real good take look at that, which was nice because I got to understand the movie that much better and some of the words they were using, some of the reasons they were doing stuff. And so what's nice about this movie is that Pixar did go to the lengths to have people from these cultures working on the films, from the writers, actors, all over the place. They did that on purpose. And that's something that Disney started doing in the 2000s. We started to see them really trying to stretch their boundaries and go from what they were doing back in the 90s and earlier, which was mostly white European stories or white with white characters. For the most part, they started changing that in the 2000s. And so you start to see them representing a greater portion of cultural things, as well as different types of people, diversity of characters. You see that extensively by the late 2000s into 2010. And of course, specifically Latino culture. You start to see that even more pronounced in animation, in Disney films, and in other things. Think about Charmed. So we really get to see that, the remake of Charmed, excuse me. You get to see that in Disney's Owl House. You see it in... Also, we had The Book of Life, which was done before this one, I think, which is largely panned compared to Coco. So you really start to see more and more interest in representing Latino culture and other cultures other than the European base, especially witchcraft and stuff like this. So it's really, that's the notable thing about this, and it's probably one of Pixar's most loved films, aside from Toy Story and their classics, but this is probably one of Pixar's most loved films. So I try to take that away from the tissue discussion. We can get to the tissue stuff later because I'll tell you all about fire next.
It's less than
that's just some basic stuff of what this is.
Okay. It is beautiful. Courtney, while you're breathing, do you want to go first?
Sure. In my own defense, the reason I'm this hysterical about it is because I literally just finished watching it again before we came on here. So I hadn't yet finished sobbing from that. And then we came on here and then there was it's just a lot. When I first saw this movie, I saw it in theaters. And I think I've told you guys before on here that one of me and my son's Thanksgiving tradition, we created our own Thanksgiving because neither one of us likes turkey or Thanksgiving food. So we go to the movies and we have a cinematic adventure. And every year, like Disney or Pixar puts out a movie, so there's always something family to watch. And we went to see Coco. and I had no idea what it was about. I didn't know anything about Dios de los Muertos. I can't even talk. I didn't know anything about it, so I didn't know what to expect. And I was in the theater sobbing audibly, like crying in pain, because it was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, but it was like, it just hurt so much to watch. And I don't know, it's, I love it, and I've watched it since then a couple times, but every single time it gets me, and it gets me in the same spots. And I think, like, my anxiety, which lives in doom and gloom land, like, when they start talking about the final death and people forgetting the multi, like, I just start, literally, just, like, my insides come out. I'm crying so hard. And then when Hector gets through and he can come home and visit on the Day of the Dead, like, he finally gets to get what he wants, and that makes me emotional. But I think the worst part is Mama Coco. And by worst, best, but the worst part is when Mama Coco, when Miguel is singing to her and she starts to come back and she's remembering. And then at the same time, that's so beautiful, but at the same time, you realize that, like, Hector's being remembered and you've fallen in love with Hector and Hector's being remembered. And it's just so hard to not think about all of our loved ones and try so hard not to forget them, because what if that's what it's like? I'm sorry about that. God, I can't ever, Jason, I will never forgive you. Next time it's my turn to pick something, I'm picking one of your
do it.
No. Okay. I will go next. I am not crying. I loved it. What is weird, though, and you guys are, everybody's going to hate me for this, I am sure. I am not an animated film person. There is absolutely no logical reason for it. If I watch one, I go, oh, yeah, that was good. But I have probably never in my life gone to a theater to watch an animated film. I'll watch it when it comes to TV and it's on my small phone. I absolutely fell in love this one because the characters were real to me. Different, not about the animation in itself, which was amazing and beautiful, and the depth and the colors was like you wanted to live there. But it's really like everybody had a life. All the characters, the relatives, the children, the family, the dead, the living, the dog, everybody had a story that before you had a complete story before, during, and after the movie. And that really impressed me. And it made me very happy to watch it. And the music, I just fell in love with the music. The guitar, the music, it just, you want to play the soundtrack when you're stuck in traffic on the freeway. And so it made me allow it to change my mind just a wee little bit about animated films in general. So that's it. It's so funny because we all know Sebastian, my friend, Father Sebastian, King of the Vampires. When he talks about vampire culture and our magical belief system, which is extraordinarily the same as your basic Wiccan structure, basically, it's elemental, it's deity-based. But he uses the movie Coco to explain afterlife of the vampire culture. He literally uses the movie Coco, and I thought that was pretty funny forever and ever for regular muggle type to understand it. I thought that was pretty cool too. So anyway, that's my thoughts. It had changed my thoughts on animated in general because they weren't animated. They were animated characters for animated characters. That's it.
Can I just real quick address this comment here from Colin? I must confess I've not seen the movie, but given how many tears we're seeing here, I'm almost afraid to watch it. Please do not be alarmed. I only feel feelings one day a year, and apparently this is it. So all of my feelings of the year are seeping out of my cold, dead heart, and that is why I am hysterical. So don't be afraid to watch it. You should absolutely watch it. It's really good.
And they're happy. To me, they're happy tears. They're happy tears.
Mine hurt. I get where you're coming from with that, but this hurts me so much because I have a hard time with death. I have people that have passed on, but I worry whenever I think about moving on, I worry about leaving my son behind. And this makes me feel like there could be a way for, oh God, here we go. I can't even talk. That's where I go. And then, so that breaks my heart to even think about. So, and this is, it's painful, but it's beautiful, but it's painful. And I hope that is what it's like. Because it's beautiful.
I think it is, Courtney. I really think it is. As I lost my mother, who was my best friend, almost a year ago. So I understand. And when Mama Coco is remembering, it reminded me of the last phone call I had with my mother. And they said, Mama, do you know who that is? And she got real happy. And she says, of course I remember who that is. I know who that handsome man is on my phone looking like the president. And so some of my friends now call me the president because that was the last thing my mother said when she was on this side. When she had passed away, I knew it was going to be 3 o'clock in the morning. I knew it was going to be 3 o'clock. I just knew it. And I normally turn my phone off, but I knew it was going to be 3 o'clock. So I turned it on, and at 2:57, my nephew called me. And I said, thank you. I knew it was coming. Thank you. And the next day was really hard because she was my best friend. And then I woke up at 2:57 the next day, and there was my mother standing in the blue light. And there she is with my dad. That was their wedding. That was their wedding photo. And she was there standing in that blue light. And she bent down and she kissed me on the forehead, and she tucked me in. And she walked off toward the end of my bed. And I thought, okay, I know that was my mother. I'm not going to tell anyone because they'll think I'm crazy. I'm just going to let it go. But then my friend, Lauren Morgan Richards, said, I think your mother came to me last night in a dream. And she said that there are two holes in the wall, and I think they're windows. I said, well, I live on the third floor. So yes, those two holes are definitely windows. And she says, you have a very large mirror that she's worried about. And I went, yep, that's my mother. And she says, it's really dark and she wants the windows open. I went, yep, that's my mother. She had big open windows everywhere. And he said, and under that mirror, there's the book that she used to read you when you were a baby, but there's something that's missing. I said, yes, we had an argument about who I am. About 2 months before, and I had taken the teddy bear she made me and I put it in storage and I haven't gotten it back. He says, no, that's okay. It's fine. She says, it's okay. The one thing, though, she wants you to know is that she loves the owls by your bed. And I went, owls by my bed? What? I don't know. He said, it was like in a book. I said, well, I have magic books. I said, I don't know what that is. He said, you'll think about it. The next day, I was giving a reading. And I turned over a card. And then I realized, yes, there are owls by my bed, but that's not the one she was talking about. It was that one.
Oh.
And that was my mother coming to me to tell me how very much that she appreciated and loved what I do. And so now I use these cards all the time. So I think, Courtney, to answer your query, I think it is something like that.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Richard Morrell. That was beautiful. My mom died several years ago now, like 5-6 years ago. And I always wear her ashes around my neck. They have never came open. She used to leak a little. I had to wipe them off, which she loved getting out. That's my mom. That's my mom and dad, Dorothy and Chuck Negri. Anyway, 2 days ago, this pendant opened wide open. All the ashes fell out and they were strewn across my breast. They were strewn across. It was the most magical, beautiful thing. I like picked them up and tasted my mom. I went into an altered state, and all these years on for Halloween for Samhain, it opened up. They are with us. Your son will never, ever lose you. I promise. Nothing dies. Science shows that. Religion shows that. Spirituality shows that. It just shifts. We just need a meat suit. Who needs a meat suit?
And we say Wes Remembered Lives, which is very much expressed in this movie. And it's no different in this, what this movie said, as in what we say as witches and pagans, we use a similar term, and that is absolutely true. That's my recent passing, that Freckles the Bunny. She left us in September, and those are my grandparents, two of my grandparents on my father's side, who were the only two grandparents that I really knew very well. And so they are with us, and I know my grandmother and visits every when we go to school. And I'm expecting Freckles will cross the Rainbow Bridge to say hello to Samhain as well for her first Samhain from the other side. So definitely agree with you guys that that is how it is. And we must remember them. I have my great grandmother's china. I use that. I have my grandmother's jewelry, and my house is surrounded by things from the people who came before, from my ancestors. And that is another way of remembering. And we have stuff from men's parents who also have since passed and do come and visit quite regularly for his mother. She loves to come and say hello and check on us. And we have things in the house, and they will remember. You leave artifacts, you leave jewelry. They will remember and will live on. Most certainly. Absolutely.
That's one of the things I think I love most about witchcraft, and especially Samhain, is the comfort that it gives me. I think a lot of times you look at other religions and somebody passes and you have this ceremony and you put them in the ground or in the urn and then you move on and you don't ever think about them again or you don't talk about them again. And to me, Samhain is this gift that every year I have this moment of reunion with people that I've lost. Damn it, Courtney, I'm blaming you if I cry. I'm blaming you.
Cry, Jason. Shed those tears.
But I feel like we get this beautiful moment of reunion that is so lacking in a lot of other faiths. It's one of the reasons I love Day of the Dead celebrations, because I think it's very similar. The beauty of going and having a picnic at a gravestone just fills me with love, because those people love their ancestors. They love their relatives, the people that they've lost and passed on. And we've just really been given a gift that we have these moments to remember those people. And I was very close to my grandparents, Nick and Marie Maggie, and I try very hard. I hear their voice in my head every day. I don't ever want to forget their voice. But one of the things that Samhain, their picture's always up, and I could just feel them near me. Sometimes you get that little bit of like grandparent smell coming into the ritual space. And my grandparents smelled great. They took a lot of showers. But we get that, and I feel so blessed for that.
I agree.
And that's Michael Harris, who was in our coven, who died two Samhains ago. His magical name was Magnus. And I think when you are in a coven with somebody that's chosen faith, you know, he means as much to me as my grandparents. And this is a story that Ari, my wife, at Samhain, when we did a little ceremony for him right after he passed, we were sitting in our living room after ritual like we do, and she turned and looked, and she swears that she saw him standing there. And I think she did, because I think he knew what we were doing and wanted to be close to us.
There's a book I worked on by Shelley Kerr. She has a podcast, and she does a lot of ancestral healing work in half-life regressions and stuff like that. And she has one where you do ancestral, I think it's genealogy, various forms of half-life therapies and modes to connect with ancestors, whether they're biological or not, doesn't matter, to connect with your family ancestors and to heal either the relationships you had in life with them or in life that they had if you didn't know them forever. And she does this kind of work. And I think one of the things about this movie this time, because I hadn't worked on the book the first time I saw this movie, but this time, one of the things that really touches me is healing that happened with those who have passed. Between them. And so one of the first times that, like I was saying before we started, that the first time that I started to cry in this movie, because I am also just bawling from pretty much the end third of the movie, just cry it right out. First time is actually when the wife or the great grandmother is lifted up on the stage by accident. She doesn't mean to go up on the stage, and she's standing there with the picture and she's singing. She's told to sing, and she starts to sing, and she looks over off stage, and then Hector is standing there. He gets the guitar, he picks it up and starts singing and looks at her, and she looks at him. And right at that moment, that it's split second, that look from her to him and him to her, and that love just that's it. The love just explodes right there, and the healing happens. And at that moment, I'm done. And I'm tearing up thinking about it, but it's this moment of pure romance, pure love. And you know that these two people who have had, trauma in their real life and then trauma into the afterlife have now healed. And so that reminds me of what Shelley does, is that you can also work on healing with, and that these ancestors can heal their traumas, whether they involve you or not. And you can be a part of that beauty. And that's what another thing that Miguel did for his ancestors. He brought healing to his ancestors, which is something that actually that can be done. It's a fascinating book. And I was just, when I saw the movie, I was like, oh my goodness, look at them portraying that. Another beautiful part of Day of the Dead and our Samhain rituals, like Jason said, are so similar. And it is. It's cathartic. It's spiritual. For me, like Jason said, it makes me feel more comfortable. It makes me feel more grounded and connected, and also okay with death, which is the whole point of Day of the Dead. It's okay. I think Jaime said that. He said, we name death. We call it. We're not afraid of it. That's the whole point of the holiday. It makes me okay with it. So not that the sadness goes away.
The sadness is good, though. The sadness is that we love people and we care about them, and it lets them know we're remembering them. I find joy in the sadness, as weird as that phrase might sound.
Can I share my people?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think part of why this movie, and it's, I think you hit the nail on the head, Heather. I think part of why this movie gets to me as much as it does is because Mama Coco reminds me of my Nana. And my Nana was, there she is. She's beautiful. My Nana wasn't nearly as old as Mama Coco, but she was loved just as much. And she was like my mom, and I lost her when I was like 17. And I think it's, I have to agree that, like, I do see things. I do see people carrying on, because when she passed away, she had cancer for a long time off and on. And she had a wig, and she didn't have any eyebrows, so she would draw on her eyebrows, and she was so meticulous about her makeup, and she would never leave the house, not even to get the mail, unless her face was on. And a couple days before she left us, she had a doctor's appointment, and she was too weak to put her makeup on, so my mom did it for her, and sang her that song, I'll Say a Little Prayer for You, where they sang each morning I wake up before I put on my makeup, and they were crying. And then she passed at home. She left very fast, but she passed at home, and she waited for everybody to come and say goodbye to her. And she was catatonic. And on her last day, we had a little radio playing softly. And I was holding her hand. And in her last moments, she opened her eyes. She looked at me and she squeezed my hand. And I called for my mother. And my mom came in, and there was like 8 of us in the room. And she took her last breath and she left. And it was beautiful, which scared me. But at the same moment, that song came on the radio. And every single time I need my grandma, that song plays from somewhere. Like, I was in basic training for the Air Force. We don't have radios. We're not allowed to listen to music. And I would be thinking about how I couldn't go on. I couldn't keep doing it. I couldn't do it anymore. And someone in the shower would start singing it. And nobody knew that story. I see that connection to the other side, and it's, I think I know I won't forget. So no one will forget me, but. And then I have also another picture it's my cousin, Mikey. He passed away when he was 14. He took his own life, which was really hard. And he's been gone longer than he was here, but he's still such a big presence in my art. And it's hard not to think about him. So. I don't, sorry if I can barely do this.
You're doing great.
Beautiful.
Okay, thank you. As you guys can see, we did submit family photos today. We are showing, we are doing our version of this. So that's why, pull out your family photos, you guys. Spend, maybe light a candle. Talk about it. Talk around the dining room table.
Share your family members' names in the chat so we can honor them with you.
Yes, we would love to do that. Okay, back to the movie, or whoever wants to go next.
Sure, we're doing our celebration tomorrow. We do something very similar where we have our altar with all of our family photos. And we actually, this year, invited my parents to join us. They usually don't. They're going to come this year because they're curious. And we should be doing this again tomorrow. We do it in the witch way. Obviously, we are not from Mexican descent. So we don't try to take those. We don't do it as a Day of the Dead, although the concept is similar. We do in the Samhain tradition. So we should be having fun time. We have a lot of people, and we usually get visitors from beyond the veil come in, grandmothers and, as I said, and parents and pets. Can't forget the pets. They come. And also, we will be honoring a woman that gave me and blessed me with a number of dolls for my, and that she was a doll restorer, and she passed in January, and we'll be bringing, and we will be bringing her name in too. And I expect that she also will not be forgotten. Every one of the dolls here has her energy, and it will not be forgotten. So it's a powerful movie that really makes, it's one that you could almost watch as a ritual every year to help, I think.
Yeah.
There's really an energy this time of year, and there's a debate going on TikTok whether the veil between the worlds is a real thing and does it really thin. And some people cite the ancient Irish Celts, like that's not what they did when they were doing Samhain 2,000 years ago. And we really don't know a lot of what, about what they did. But if you look around the world at this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, lots of different groups honoring the dead. There's just something in the environment. There's some sort of energy that we can all feel. The All Souls and All Saints Day were originally in the spring close to Easter. And they weren't moved to try to make pagans Christians. I think they were moved because people realized, even Catholics and the Pope, hey, there's something in the air in late October, early November. And if you're going to honor the dead and feel reunion with them, this is the time of year to do it, which is why All Souls and All Saints are the first and second. It's why we celebrate Samhain. It's why ghosts are so prevalent at Halloween. And it's why we have Mexican Day of the Dead. I think the fact that all of the different holidays and all these different traditions exist near the same point in the calendar is just not a coincidence. They rose independently. And it's because there's just something about this time of year.
And it's, I think you can tie that in, which is Laura Gonzalez ties it into the indigenous one. It's fall. It's autumn. The reason for the season, the leaves are falling. The nature is going dark. It's becoming, it's going into itself. That, and I have owls, it's hooting season here. The owls are hooting constantly. So the connection, I'm bringing that up because owls are connected to this time of year. There's a reason for it. Owls are hooting. They're actually finding their nesting area. They're not doing it for any kind of ghosts or anything, but they're hooting a lot. So my point is that I think the reason for the season, I think the reason that the veil is thin, as we say, is because nature's also shutting down. Falls, it's not a coincidence, just like you said, Jason. It's not at all. No. Nature is connected to this as well.
Absolutely it is. To go on that point of why it would be moved All Souls Day and All Souls Eve, why it would be moved to this time of year, it's all the leaves have started to turn brown. It's the fading. It's right before the harvest. It's not the winter when it is in the cold ground. And of course, spring is rebirth. So it is the dying of the embers, but also the ghost stories that bring us together. It's the fires that we keep. It's the fires in the heart. It's the fires that we gather around when we tell stories. It's the candles that we burn. It really is all about that time of the year.
And it's all connected.
Yeah. It's a time to come inside. Even following the wheel of the year, like you were saying, the spring, we're coming out, we're out, and now we're going in deep, ancestral work, lighting the fire. It's just,
I'd love to know why this is my favorite time of the year then, if I have to be so emotional about it when I don't like being emotional.
Well, in fairness, Courtney, you have a doll that you don't think is a doll when it's clearly a doll.
Why do you have to bring
maybe,
that in?
Maybe deep down you like being emotional. Maybe this feels really good. And instead of trying to hex me later, you should send me a little love letter or something.
I agree with Jason. I do too. I don't want to feel things. It's so much. I've been crying now for like an hour and a half, and it's really a problem.
But you know what?
You've also laughed several times.
Crying is so important. So salt has healing properties. If someone is a marathon runner and they take a salt bath, it absorbs that pain. In witchcraft, we use salt circles. We use salt in our spells. We use salt. Even in the Christian, it says that you're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Salt is, it has healing properties. So our bodies are 80% water. And when we shed those, that salt, it's healing. So crying may make us not so pretty, but I think in that not so pretty, it is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely healing. And I think that it is so imperative that we allow ourselves, it doesn't matter male or female, young or old, it doesn't matter who we are, we must allow ourselves to cry because it's healing.
Amen.
Yeah. Kelvin, I feel like the Grinch until I cry. That's me. That's me right there.
Yeah. I know this is a very different review because it's not, we're not really reviewing the movie quite as such as normal, but we're going into our stories, but who wants to go next on any of those fronts?
Can I say thank you to everybody who's putting the names of their loved ones in the chat, because I think missing people and remembering people brings us all together too in the here and now. And I've read, even though we haven't read them out loud, I personally have read every single one that you've put in there, and I've given them a thought as we were talking. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for bringing that up, Courtney. That's beautiful.
I just don't want to be the only emotional one anymore.
Yeah, my moon is in Pisces, Courtney. You have no idea. I'm a walking water faucet, but I can control it here for some reason.
Courtney, like your song, though, that comes on that reminds you of your nan. My mother loved I Will Always Love You. And,
oh, God.
And so I was actually in Ohio with my friend. I was helping her pick up her kid from school. And I Will Always Love You came on the radio. And of course, it's the 30th and it's not Halloween. I'm crying like a baby because there I was remembering. And yes, people are saying, asking if I think that tears can bless. Yes, tears are absolutely a blessing. It's painful and it hurts and you have to get it out.
Richard, though, not to make light of what you just said, because I'm really not trying to, but in another way it hurts, because that song I put on purpose to scream sing as I'm driving, to the point that like I give myself a nosebleed because I'm scream singing it so loud. So from now on, every time I do that, I'm going to think of your mom.
But is it the Dolly version or the Whitney version? That's the first thing that pops into my edge.
For me, it's Whitney, but it's still, the sentiment is there.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know, my internet's cutting in and out. It's the veil is thin, and so is my internet. So I personally prefer the Dolly version, but my mother loved the Whitney Houston version. She liked both, but she loved the Whitney one.
That's the one I scream sing until my nose bleeds. So from now on, every time I do, it'll be for her.
And why do you scream sing until your nose bleeds?
Because I hate crying like this. So instead, I scream sing in the car for people to look at me, but I get my feelings out that way.
I mean, I would rather cry than bleed.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Try to belt Whitney as loud as you can at the top of your lungs and see where it comes out.
That will make other people's around me the ears bleed. That's what will happen. I love other humans way too much for me to sing I Will Always Love You by Whitney.
Well, on the road in Massachusetts, surrounded by Massachusetts drivers, you may feel differently. So it's like a defense mechanism. Keep everybody away from me.
Now, I have a crazy little piece about the article I write with Laura Gonzalez that has Day in the Dead, is that we did the interview and I wrote the article over a period of October last year. And the Indigenous holiday starts in August, I believe, and goes through. So she's been practicing for a while. We did this great article. She's a lovely person. And then it takes some time for the editing. I send it into my editor and it gets it. I never know when they're actually going to publish. They decided to publish it. I can't remember the exact. You can go look which date it was. It was 23rd, 24th, 25th, a few days before, end of October. And I sent her the link and she didn't call me. I don't remember it was text or whatever it was. She contacted me. She was bawling because it was actually published the day her mother died.
Whoa.
And her mother had died, I think it's in the article, I believe it was exactly 10 years before that or something. And she had never been interviewed. She's not a public and public. She does a podcast, but she's not public in terms of interviews and stuff and talking about this. And she's just been starting teaching all this stuff. So to have this article go public in that a national on the day her mother died was so amazing for her. And it was about her heritage, about something that was so important to her and her mother, who never was living in the U.S. It was just so powerful for her. So that was really nice. And of course, I cheered up when she told me that. And it was just a beautiful moment. And it was a beautiful Day of the Dead moment, a beautiful Samhain moment. She's also Wiccan. So it brought all her worlds together, which is beautiful. But, and I also was going to say is that another nice thing that I think what we can do to help remember, and I did this with my grandfather. And I think it's a nice thing you can think about for the people in your life who might be close to passing, is that they have them write their stories down. And I asked my grandfather when my grandmother passed to write his story down about his life. He said he wrote his story about how he met my grandmother and how much he loved their life together. And with the man was a carpenter. He never wrote anything down. He did it in pencil. And this was year 2000. He didn't have a computer. He wrote, and I still have his paper copy. Ask your grandparents, your parents, elderly, hear their story, listen to them now, write them down. Because as an advocate for genealogy and just as a storyteller, write them down. One way you can remember them. You can tell their stories in their own words. And that story is one of the most beautiful treasured things I have of all of the things I have from my grandparents. Because
I have to honor that is
not my grandpa. So you wrote it about her and they got married in the late 30s and she died in the 99. She died in 2008.
I just want to say that about living. My grandfather, I'm following his footsteps only opposite because he was a philosopher, but he was an atheist. He was a psychoanalyst. He was very academic and he wrote lots of books. He wrote books on religion. He wrote books on sex. He wrote books on beautiful books. Not all my belief, but they're well out of print. And not too long ago, I found somebody was illegally printing them. I actually bought a couple and print on demand, the works of Vitale Negri. And I got up in arms about it. And then I went, no, even my grandfather, who didn't believe in any kind of an afterlife, he said, you are remembered by the work you do. There's a big statue of the thinker at his grave and a thing. We go, I'm thankful to this person. And one day, maybe I will take it over and republish his works and do something. But until then, I'm thankful for this illegal person doing print on demand that my grandfather's work's still out there.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. All right. I think it is time, looking at the clock and reading our books for our movie. Yeah.
All right. Now, Coco is not like a great Pixar movie, like Bug's Life or Cars 2, 3, and 4.
That's
a little more challenging. All right, here we go. I don't mean that at all. Those movies are terrible. Remember back when Toy Story scarred you for life and made it impossible to throw away an old and broken toy and really throw away anything else. Seriously, my toys come to life? Those toys have seen me do unspeakable things. Now prepare yourself for Pixar to scare and scar you all over again in Coco, a movie not just about the inevitability of death, but the inevitability of dying a second time and being forgotten forever. By the time Coco is done, you'll be begging your extended family and friends to all begin celebrating the Mexican Day of the Dead and requiring those friends and family to print out your picture and plaster it all over their homes to your demise. Meet Miguel Rivera, an aspiring 12-year-old musician whose family hates music, and I really hate music. Instead of listening to music, the Riveras have embraced making shoes and run a small sweatshop in the town of Santa Cecilia, where everyone in the family is forced to work, including poor Miguel. Everyone in the Rivera family is forbidden from even listening to music? Something that is all but impossible. Seriously, how does that work? Does everyone walk around with noise-canceling headphones on? Despite the protests of the Rivera family, Coco has tons of great music. And when the film is done, you'll be singing Remember Me, whether you want to sing it or not. Puzzle at just why the movie is named after the character Coco, a character that has maybe 15 lines in the entire movie. And then, once Coco is dead, really puzzle as to why she is the only spirit in the land of the dead to take the form of a 150-year-old skeleton lady. Seriously, every other deceased member of the family looks like they are in the prime of their lives in the land of the dead, minus not having any skin, of course. But Coco chooses to look 150? It's maddening, I say. It's maddening. As you may have noticed, I had to work extra hard to find things to make fun of in Coco because this movie is most excellent. You'll even have your heart stolen by the spirit guide Dog Dante. And by the end of the movie, you'll say to your friends, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah.
Courtney has a quote.
Oh, God. That was funny, and I stopped crying, and now I'm going to cry again. Thanks, Richard Lyle. Okay. I was crying too hard to take. There was something. Someone said something about a femur, and I got really excited, but it was also during the time that I started to cry, so I lost it, and I tried to look it up, and I couldn't find it anymore. So I only have one quote, and it's beautiful and it's sad. Oh, God. It's from the song Remember Me, which I love, and is terrible and heartbreaking. It's the line that says, no, make my nose bleed instead of tears come out. Know that I'm with you the only way that I can be until you're in my arms again. Remember me. And it's just like, we're all doing our best. And whatever that looks like at the end, we'll all be together. So I thought that was beautiful. And thank you so much, Richard Lyle. And now I'm mad at you, in addition to being mad at Jason.
On that also angry note, I guess it is time for us to rate this movie, everybody. And all you beautiful people, we love, thank you for listing your ancestors. Thank you for commenting your opinions. Now give us wands up or wands down.
It's no Bug's Life.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. I'd have to turn the light off on myself. Just kick me out and we walk away.
My wand today is a skeleton key, a very large one. And this is actually because of Baron Samedi, who is voodoo, not having anything to do with, of course, Dia de los Muertos, but he is the keeper of the keys between worlds. And so my key is up.
And he's in New Orleans, as is Baron Samedi. Beautiful. So one's way up. It seems like this may be one of our few unanimous ones. We haven't gotten even a midway wand or a placid wand yet.
Placid one.
Yeah.
So we are wands up on Coco. And if you now inspired, don't be afraid to go see it. Your nose won't bleed. We want to wish everyone a happy, whatever you celebrate, do go celebrate your ancestors. If it's a photos or memories or stories. It is how we keep them alive. Anything coming up? It's really fast. We're almost to the end. I am leaving for Michigan. Anybody in mid-Michigan, I'm going to be in Mount Pleasant this weekend, mid-Michigan Paracon. It seems like it's a pretty big one. Lots of people going. I'm doing a big mediumship gallery or seance on Saturday night. I will be there starting Thursday, leaving Sunday for the bottom of the planet. But if in the area, join us. It's going to be a really fun one. And that's it. Lots of other stuff coming in, but follow me, go to my website, like us all on social media, pattynegri.com. And well,
yes, I don't really have anything going on right now, but you can remember me.
Oh,
it's going to my website, thegentlemanpsyche.com. Oh. Also, there are fake people on Twitter and TikTok and all of those. I'll never contact you for a reading. I'm not a Christian. So if I contact you and tell you I have spirit Jesus or whatever, I don't have spirit Jesus, but I have a Courtney, something I'm sending to court. <That's so
good. laughs> I still have to send you your birthday present from last year.
Well, time to give me another one. It's already another year.
It's still on my dining room table, if you can read that.
All right, Courtney.
That's me. I have just survived October in Salem. I will be sleeping as much as I can for the next week. Then I will be going to Disney. And then after that, the world is my oyster. I will have shed 37,000 pounds from tears because I'm going to go cry for the rest of the night. And then, yeah, that's it.
Thank you. And before we move on, we want to say, sorry, Kane is in a hurricane and their fence is gone.
Oh,
no.
So sorry. Wish you well. Just stay safe. Fences can be rebuilt. But maybe go metaphorically. Your fence is down. You're going to grow. Anyway, all right. Heather.
Hi. Yeah, I'm here doing, I'm not going anywhere in near future. I'm working all with my authors on my article, and that's pretty much it. And I did have some things to share about this movie, were about the movie itself, but we didn't get to that. Maybe another time. Or maybe not here, but other than that, that's it. Come visit me on my social media, heathergreen.net. You can find them all. I'm on four of them now, and I'm doing a new thing called with all the literature for movies. This, so check out my socials for that.
Thank you. Jason.
I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada next Saturday for Las Vegas Pagan Pride. My last event of the year. Woo! Patty doesn't know what that's like. I think she always gets excited about that. And yeah. You're out gambling. Come say hi.
Yeah, awesome. Everybody went. Oh, I wanted to say that I'm trying to channel Jason's curly blonde locks today. My hairdresser put a cream in my hair that made it curly. I don't have curly hair. It's just a cream. So I'm trying hard, but I still think he wins.
I think
next week we are doing The Witches. So everybody watch The Witches. Now it is 19. What is the year of that?
1993.
Because you could get it mixed up with something else. The Witches from 1993. I don't think I'm going to be here. Am I? I don't know. And if I'm not, you're in good hands with everybody else. So it is time to cackle because it said it is time to cackle. We are 7:02. Hey, witch time, pagan time, day of the dead time. 1, 2, 3.
You have to go.